Welcome back. Cold as ice. That's going to be our cue to call on the giveaway for the Canyon Cooler that we'll be giving away here in just the next few minutes. When you hear that sound bite again, be the first to call the toll-free number, 1-888-767-4348, and you will be the winner here broadcasting in Prescott with our good friend Tom Riley of Renovations. You know, Tom, your company name reminds me of another man I know whose company is also called Renovations, but he's located in New York City. It's Rusk Renovations, John Rusk. And it's ironic that he just sent me an email, and his current workload is a $2.2 million remodel, a $800,000 remodel, a $1 million remodel, and a $600,000 remodel, all in the high-rises of downtown Manhattan, New York. I can't think of any place I'd rather not remodel than the downtown Manhattan. And you've got some experience doing it. It must be miserable.
It is. That was one of the reasons why I left New York 37 years ago.
I mean, do you just have to have pockets of cash paying off the guy at the front door and paying the guy with the freight elevator?
I'm sure it's
paying
different
off
now.
All the policemen because you're parking illegal to unload your trucks?
Well, you know, I'm sure it's different now. I mean, I heard a lot of that corruption's been cleaned up. But there was a time when you had to pay, the fee was $125 to the inspector who would come by to do the inspection on your thing. He had to have that in cash in his pocket before he would inspect your building.
Oh, for heaven's sake. But seriously, the logistics of doing a high-rise remodel in an area so I think I'd rather bring the supplies in by helicopter.
It's restricted airspace and a lot of that, too, so you have that problem. It took me, when we were working in Manhattan, I worked there for a short period of time, but from the time we would get to our reserve parking area up to the work site in some of the high-rises would be at least 45 minutes.
From parking?
We just left the truck.
To workplace.
To workplace, 45 minutes. So you can think about the loss of productivity.
Oh, I mean, how do you get 100 sheets of 5/8 rock up 70 stories in a high-rise in Manhattan?
If you have a freight elevator, which normally these things do for moving furniture
they
in and out, you put it on a dolly. You know, you'll put 10 or 12 sheets on a dolly, and then you wheel it into the thing, bring it up, and then wheel it back out.
Where's the truck?
Oh, it's down on the ground.
But parked in a service
in a
bay
service,
area?
Either service bay area, or they'd block off a portion of the street. You'd pay a permit fee in order to have a portion of the street blocked off that parking is reserved for construction. The dumpster sometimes would be out there depending upon the high-rise.
I can't even imagine.
You've seen some of the things, not really high-rise, but the chutes that come out of buildings and go into the dumpster.
I've seen some of that in Phoenix. Yes,
yeah.
I have.
No. We've done that. Of course, you don't do that, you know, 60 stories in the air.
Well, I didn't mean – we've kind of been off topic all morning long, just talking about things that are fun and grabbing Bob Bo's bill there for a little while was fun. But we're talking about outdoor living in our article today in the Arizona Republic in the home section. And we're talking about ways that you can enhance the outdoor living experience. Now, down in our neck of the woods, we rely heavily on misting systems, evap coolers, ceiling fans. And I'm kind of evolving into what I'm picking as my number one method. I think these standalone large evap coolers like you see on the sidelines of the professional athletic games may be the way to go. I was a misting guy for a long time, but I'm getting a little discouraged with them.
Is that just the maintenance and the upkeep of the hard water?
Well, it's the mineral deposits that it leaves on all of your furniture, all of your exterior wall surfaces, your vigas, your latias, your support posts, and all of that. A vap cooler down at the end of the patio, you know, you drop all those sunscreens down in the end. You have a little nice little breeze. You turn those vap coolers on, and wham.
I'm sure that it would work.
A vap cooler's used a lot up here, I imagine, huh?
I'll use them on houses, not on outdoor living.
Yeah,
outdoor living up here in Prescott, I mean, this is God's country.
Just turn a fan on if
you
want,
turn a
right?
fan on, if you know, things like that. The biggest thing out here is extending the season from summer into late fall and early winter. And some of the heaters and some of the propane heaters and infrared heaters, heating systems, those are the things that we get, the outdoor fireplaces, the fire pits, things like that. You don't really think of a fire pit in the middle of the summer in Phoenix.
Yeah, amen.
Now, Maricopa is obviously a no-burn county. Is that a restriction up here?
Yes, Yes and no. It's not the same. It's not the same. But in some municipalities, you can't burn. You need burn permits, things like that. I mean, where I live, I'm supposed to get a burn permit every time I start a campfire.
Pretty much. I was about to.
And I do that, too.
Okay.
Every single time.
Every single time.
We were talking about Farmer Bob down at Grandma's Farm in Phoenix. And he actually was challenged by Maricopa County saying, hey, if you're going to stay organic and not use any chemicals on your farm for your vegetable garden, your roadside garden, and you're going to use propane flames to do that, you need a burn permit. He says, well, I'm not burning anything. I'm just scorching everything. And so they said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll issue a burn permit that's good for the whole year. And in my mind, I would have accepted it. I thought, okay, I would have. And he fought it. He said, no, I'm not burning anything. I'm scorching it. So he actually got by without having to buy anything.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So burn permits. One of the things that we talk about when we visit about outdoor environments is, and how much have you done in the way of big screen TV, sound systems? I just love listening to my music out on the back patio.
We don't do sound systems in-house, but there are several companies in the area that do sound systems for the outside. One of the things that, you know, people want to have the sound system so that it stays in their property and doesn't bother their neighbors and things like that, and that's one of the issues. There's been talk back and forth about sound systems being sound being governed somehow, that you can't have a certain amount of decibel level leaving your property, things like that. But you know, that's the old adage. I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Well, a lot of people make the mistake with outdoor sound systems is they penetrate the outside wall and they bring the speaker wire through it. They mount the speaker right there. So it's close to where you're going to congregate. It's pointed out away from your house, and it does migrate easily onto your neighbor's yard. One lesson I learned very early is take your speakers out away from where you're going to be congregating, point them back in towards you, and bring the sound in. It actually, from the neighbor's yard, you can barely hear it unless you get really wild and crazy. But that's a great way to enhance the sound environment in the backyard.
It is.
Don't get the speaker right over the top of your head at the little breakfast coffee table you got on the back patio.
And there's so many things that are integrated with it. The Sonos system is what I installed at the house, and it's really cool because you can have different zones. So the patio was zoned different than the garage, than the kitchen. Now, they would all play the same thing simultaneously, but from your music library on your computer, it could manage 32 independent zones. And then after I had that installed, a couple years later, it came out with the app. So then you download the app. I'd be in the garage, pull out my phone, turn it up, turn it down, change my playlist, change my genre. I mean, you manage it all right from your phone. And it's absolutely incredible. And that was fun because I enjoy music. And the great thing about it, it would also work with the internet. So if I wanted to listen to an LSU football game, I could get just one of the radio stations that stream out of Baton Rouge and just turn that on. So you could hear the radio feed, and it's pretty trick stuff.
You're a lot more tech savvy than I am. I mean, I'm one of these things. I'm lucky I can manage a phone call on my iPhone. And we do have a sound system in our barn. It's an old AM/FM radio that we just plug in, and we turn it on. We used to turn it on all the time. The theory that my mother-in-law said we should do this is helps calm the horses for them to hear.
My grandpa keeps the radio on low out in his barn.
Yeah.
All the time.
And then the radio broke, and we just never
replaced it. Is there a particular genre of music that the horses like better?
You know,
it's got to be country western, right?
I would think. I mean, that's how we used to play back there, because that's what I wanted to listen to.
Now, speaking of living like you do, a little bit rural and stuff like that, and you being a builder remodeler up here in Yavapai County, you have a lot more of those kind of clients that are out there. What do y'all do for backup power and in the way of generators? We talk a little bit about generators in today's article. Y'all do many of those?
We do several of them. We probably do one, at least one a year. And the backup generators there's a variety of backup generators. The fuel source for the backup generators is the big thing. And we're finding more popular the propane fuel source, and that tends to work out. But we've done diesel, regular gasoline, and propane. We have worked on places where somebody else was doing the work and getting battery from solar backup. And that lasts a little bit, but, you know, it's not as long as a generator.
No.
But the generator and the fuel source, though, is you get a propane generator, and if you have propane gas in a rural area, then, or natural gas even, you can get a more reliable source if you have a storage tank on it. Because if things go kaiwinky on you, then, you know, you may not have natural gas.
You know what? Can you spell that for me? I'm going to add that to our
Starts
Rosie's.
With K.
This might be a better question for the guys over at Barrett Propane, but is there a shelf life on propane? Like, if you fill your tank, you fill a gas tank with gas, and sooner or later it's going to gel up and turn, it's going to go to kerosene, then it's going to go to the gel, and then it's going to clog everything. Does propane have a shelf life at all?
You know, I'm sure that it probably does, but I don't know what that shelf life would be. I know it's longer than gasoline. I'm pretty sure it is.
And yeah.
That's a lot of the ways that a lot of folks have wanted to do that. But plus, they can store it, too. I mean, you can get, you know, 400 gallons, 200 gallons of propane, and it'll last you a good long time.
Fire up the generator, and a good enough generator to run a typical home is going to run you a couple $1,000s. Get her plugged in, backfed to the service entrance panel. And
you're looking at probably looking at anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000.
Yeah. And y'all are doing those about once a year just for the power failures?
Particularly in rural areas, power failures, things like that. Particularly for older folks, too, who have medical needs. And so they need to keep.
They can't sit there and wait for the power to come back.
Yeah, they need to have something. Yeah, they can't do that.
All right, folks. We're broadcasting live from Prescott. It's Rosie on the house. We're going to take a short break right here, come back for our final segment before I get to go art shopping.
We got to give away our stuff, too, the VAP cooler and the.
Well, you got to wait for the sound bite.
Well, we only got one segment left.